Hello and welcome to the Lost Skills Podcast, where we believe if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Today's episode is episode 27. First thing off today, I'd like to mention that we're running a listener appreciation contest. And you can see the prizes, they're put up at my Facebook page. You can just search for Lost Skills Podcast on Facebook and find my Facebook page, and there's a picture up there. First thing you gotta do when you... If you want to win the contest, first go and like my Facebook page. Then, send me an email at lostskillspodcast@gmail.com with the words Listener Appreciation Contest in the subject line. Also, put in your shipping address, name, and all your information so I could just send it right out to you. Then I'd like you to make a post about my podcast or my Facebook page. And that's all you got to do to win the contest. Now, for those of you that don't want to go to Facebook and look, first I'll tell you it's a 31-piece screwdriver set. Comes with all the Phillips, flatheads, and Torx bits. And it even comes with a few sockets. Then there's a set of miniature pliers, which are side cutters and a miniature needle-nose pliers. And last but not least, there's a set of Allen wrenches that are standard and metric. I know it's not a lot, but it's a way that I can show my appreciation to at least one listener who gets out there and shares the message about my show. I'll be running another contest probably sometime after the new year, so if you don't win this time, don't worry about it, there'll be another one. So as some of you may know that go on the preparedness websites and stuff, that I'm into preparedness, and I know a lot of you that listen probably are too, and maybe some of yous aren't, so today's subject is going to be how to make a survival cache. First off, why would you want to make a cache? Well, you can hide some very important things. People have been doing it for years throughout history. There are untold amount of stories about people in Wisconsin that have cached money on their farms that, you know, when they didn't trust a bank, or during the Depression they didn't trust the bank, so they dug a hole and buried a bunch of money in a old mason jar or something. A lot of these people did such a good job that you'll never find them, and some people are still searching some of the old farms in Wisconsin looking for caches that are supposed to have a lot of money in them. There are various reasons you'd want to cache something. You might want to cache some money or maybe some gold or silver, something that you don't want someone else to find if they come and rob your house. It can be a very effective way of hiding some of your valuables, you know, things you don't use all the time. But also there's the other side of it, where you can hide supplies if something happens and you're away from home and then someone comes and robs your house. You'll always have the basic needs for you to get to your next location. You might be afraid that the government's going to come and get your firearms, and maybe you've prepared a firearm and buried it down for storage with a whole bunch of ammo. That way you know you'll always be able to protect yourself. And when you think about a cache, the sky's the limit. There are all types of different caches, you know, like the ones for wealth and ones for equipment. And you can cache just about anything you want. But for today's purpose, let's just talk about making yourself a survival cache. Something that's put away for if the times get really bad. I don't really like the doom and gloom aspect of being in preparedness, but sometimes you just gotta look at things. And with the way the governments of the world have been behaving, you never know what might happen. So here's a list of the things that you would put in a survival cache, and we'll talk about why you'd want to keep each one of them. First off, gold and silver, and other precious metals. While gold and silver and other precious metals will still have value after something really bad happens. Now, I'm not one of them people that says gold is money, because gold is not money. Gold is just something valuable. So keep your gold in a really small, easily manageable things. You can't have a gold bar and expect to pay someone for some food with it, because they'll want the whole gold bar because you don't have any food. So keep it in a small amounts. The next thing you could put in there would be firearms and ammo. Nowadays they make really cheap handguns like the High Point and 9mm, 380, 40 and 45 ACP, and you can pick one of them up for I think $165 down at the local gun store here. So you could throw one of them in a cache and not really feel bad about it, and throw in a couple of boxes of ammo, and then you'd have your self-defense covered for a little while anyway. And maybe you'd want to take the gun and a box or two of ammo and put it in one cache, and then just have a cache of just ammo somewhere else. that's just something to think about when you're doing this. Another thing you'd want to put in this type of cache is some kind of fire making tools. Don't just throw a couple of Bic lighters in a thing, maybe some Bic lighters, a ferro rod, a magnesium fire starter, you know, various things to start fires. Always at least have three different ways of starting a fire so that if you have trouble, then you can get a fire going. And you might want to put some fire starting materials in there too, like cotton balls and Vaseline or some kind of fat wood or something like that. Also, lint from a dryer works good after you've been using the dryer to dry a lot of blue jeans. So put that in there too. The next thing you'd want to put in there is some kind of water purification equipment. You've probably all listened to the episode I put about water, so you might just want to have maybe a canteen cup, you know, some kind of containers, something to hold the water and boil it, maybe a small fold-up backpacking wood stove, which I've made a couple of them. You can buy them for $20, but I made a few. You can also get as elaborate as putting in a water pump with a filter where you can pump a couple thousand gallons of water through the thing. They're usually pretty small because they're made for backpacking, so they don't take up a lot of room. Another thing you might want to put in there is knives and other utensils or tools. So you might want to put a few knives in there, sharpening stone, maybe one of them knife sharpeners with the ceramic just to touch your blade up. You might want to put in like a backpacking utensil set, maybe an old military mess kit. And maybe if you have like a small hatchet or handsaw and stuff and you want to throw them in there, that would be a good idea too, because you never know if you're going to need them. Because if you're digging this thing up, it might be a really bad day. You might just want to put copies of your valuable documents. You might want to have a copy of the deed to your house in there, because maybe you're not going to make this a survival cache at all. Maybe you just want to have just your valuable documents in there. I mean, you can put your social security numbers, you can put all of that stuff in there. You just have to be very careful that it doesn't get found. And a cache like that, you'd probably want to store somewhere on your property so that you could figure out if people are trying to dig it up. But if you hide it properly, nobody will find it for a very long time. The next thing you might want to put in there is basic fishing equipment. Hooks, sinkers, swivels, some bobbers or floats, maybe something to make a fishing pole, or maybe you get one of them small collapsible fishing poles that fit in the back of a truck or whatever. Or maybe you want to just make your own like survival fishing kit and put it in there. Another thing is cordage, like parachute cord or 550 cord, or maybe just some other types of cord where if you were actually digging this up on the go that you'd have something that you could make shelter out of. And also you want to put in some medical supplies, like a first aid kit or something that's a little bit above a first aid kit, like something with pressure bandages and stuff like that to stop some major bleeding. Chances are if you're that hurt, you won't be digging the hole up, but it's something to have with you for if something bad does happen later on. Now the next thing you want to have is probably some flashlights with batteries. Don't put the batteries in the flashlight because then they'll explode and the flashlights will be garbage. But if you put a battery and just leave it in his regular container, a lot of times if you look at the expiration date, sometimes it's 10 years after the batteries were made. Another thing to buy would be the chemical light sticks. Those are rugged and they last a long time. They do expire, but I've heard of many people using them long after their expiration date, so I think that's kind of more of a suggestion. And you never know, maybe you just want to put like an old oil lamp in there, or you can buy them kerosene hurricane lanterns from Walmart. I think they're like $3 or $4, and you could run them on regular motor oil if you had to. So these are just a few ideas of things you can put in a survival cache. So now let's talk about what you can make your cache out of. The first and obvious choice is ammo cans. Lots of people use them for caches, and they're very rugged. They have good gaskets on them. Some of these things have been around since World War II, so you know that they're made to last. You can take them and maybe spray them with some truck bed liner or some other type of paint just to renew the paint job. Anywhere there's light rust, just fix them up before you want to bury them in the ground. That way they last a little longer. The other thing is plastic watertight boxes. You can buy them, and they're basically the same shape as an ammo can, but They're made for boaters and things like that, and those would make a very good box as long as you make sure that they, when you buy them, they have a quality seal. Another thing you can use is pipe with threaded end caps. And you make sure when you do that, you put some Neversees or something on the threads. That way the pipes are easier to get off. But this, I don't know if I would recommend, because after it spends 10 years in the ground, you might not be able to get the caps off at all. I can't say I know anyone that's actually tried it with a threaded pipe, so I couldn't say if it works or not. The next thing would be PVC with glued or threaded ends. Now, a lot of people use this for cash because it's relatively cheap, and you can get a pretty big piece of pipe and put it in the ground, or you can bury multiple pipes in the ground. And then after you dig it up, if it's got a threaded end, you just have to spin the end off, or if it's got a cap on it that's glued on, you might have to take the cap and break it off, or just take the whole cache with you so that you can open it somewhere else later, but you might have to cut the end off or something like that. And then 5-gallon buckets with sealable lids. I think these would make a very good cache as long as they have a proper gasket. You want to make sure that the gasket is a good gasket, maybe give it a coat of grease or something to help with its longevity, something to keep the rubber moist. But you could fit a lot of things in a 5-gallon pail if you start stuffing stuff in there. You might not fit everything that's on the list, but that's a reason that you can make multiple caches. And we'll talk about multiple caches in a little bit. Now the next container would be a 55-gallon drum with a sealed lid. And these would work pretty good, I think, if you took the lid off and use a caulking gun and put a bead of silicone caulk around the inside of the lid and then put it down on top and then seal the lid. I think a 55-gallon drum like this would last a very long time. And you might want to just take them and spray some Rhino liner or some, you know, truck bed liner on the whole thing before you put it in the ground, which will dramatically increase its life in the ground. Now, if you want to get in the serious size caches, you can also buy one of them plastic septic tanks. I seen one at Walmart, and I think they come in 750 and 1,000 gallons and probably 1,500 gallons, which would let you store pretty much anything you would want. The only problem is that if you wanted to bury it, you'd have to get heavy equipment to dig the hole because the hole would be so big. But if you wanted to hide a lot of stuff, I think this would be a very reasonable way to do it, because I don't think them tanks are really all that expensive. But with the type of cache that you're going to do, it depends how much stuff you want to take. I mean, you really, if you're going for a basic survival cache, you don't want to have much more than a 5-gallon pail, because you'd have a hard time carrying all the stuff to get there. But if it was right by your home and you were resupplying your home after a disaster, maybe the bigger one would be right for you, because maybe you're not going to go anywhere else. But that's all in the mind of the person who's building the cache. You never know what another person might want or need. So now let's talk about how the basics of preparing some of these items. First way of doing it would be to vacuum seal everything, which would work very well if someone had a food saver and like the roll of bags that you make your own bags up with. I mean, you could seal something as large as even a rifle in there, and it would help keep the moisture out, and without any air in there, it would be a lot harder for it to rust. I think this would be a good way to store ammunition, because it also with the rusting and corrosion, but also if you thought your cache might be somewhere with the water table's kind of low, you might want to vacuum seal the stuff, and you could still bury it in a bucket in the water. It doesn't really matter. The next thing is O2 absorbers. They have small ones, which a lot of times you'll find in with foods and other things like that, and up to a large size, which is basically, if you go to Walmart and get some hand warmers, those are really big O2 absorbers, and you could throw a couple of them in like a 5-gallon pail, and it would suck almost all the air out of the 5-gallon pail. And then you have the regular like silica moisture absorbers, where you might want to use this with a combination of oxygen absorbers, so if there was any moisture from condensation or anything, that would help pick it up and it would save some of the items in your cache. And there are various other containers and things that you could put inside your cache, like you could save old mayonnaise jars if you want to save money, or the ball canning jars would be a good way to put a bunch of stuff in there. The only problem with putting a bunch of containers in your cache is you lose a lot of room really fast, because they don't stack up perfect together. But you can also just double Ziploc bag stuff. That would work pretty good, I think. And that's pretty much all my thoughts I have on how to prepare items to put in a cache. Oh wait, there is one more thing. If you're putting a firearm away or something, they sell a spray that's like a rust inhibitor spray. It's almost like a version of Cosmoline, and you could spray your whole rifle down before you put it in like a piece of PVC or something like that. So now I want to talk about how to hide and locate your cache. There are tons of ways to hide a cache. The sky's the limit. I mean, it's only up to your imagination. So I've just kind of made a short list of ways you could hide and locate your cache. First would be to use landmarks. If you're walking through the woods and maybe there's a huge boulder that had been there from the glacier, you could hide it underneath the glacier, or some kind of immovable landmark that you could put it nearby, like a rock cliff or maybe a limestone ridge or something like that, that you could bury it or hide it in a nook and cranny somewhere along a permanent land feature that you could always go back and find. And you can make maps. Maps can be made various ways. You can have a map that goes right to your cache, which is a good idea to have a map, I guess, because if something happens to you, and maybe, you know, God forbid you die, your family members can go get that map and they can find your cache. Just make sure it's easy enough for them to read as well as you, but not easy enough that everybody else that finds it can read. You can also make multiple maps where you put a map in your house and the map goes to the location of a first cache with a map in it, and then you can use that map or multiple other maps to find the cache. You could have as many maps as you want, maybe 3 or 2 or 4 or 5, and just keep the people running. The next thing would be the use of symbols. And this is very interesting to me because this has been used quite a bit. Like I was watching a show, Brad Metzler's Decoded, and they were talking about the Jesse James and the Knights of the Golden Circle and how they used to have drop-off caches and paid people in caches, and they had symbols that would show you where it was, and they would have symbols that were false symbols that would show you a different direction and take you away from the cache. Another place to hide a cache would be underwater. There are probably tons of caches that are down old hand-dug wells that people would never go down there to look. I mean, why would you go down in the bottom of a well? Or maybe put it in part of a lake. Just make sure that if the lake dries up some that nobody finds your cache. I mean, look at all the lakes in Texas. Quite a few of them dried up, and they're finding space shuttle parts and all kinds of stuff. Now, if you have a farm, you can also hide it underneath rock piles. Now, this would be a good option for someone like me who lives up in northern Wisconsin, because if I buried a cache in the ground, it is inaccessible to me for part of the year. I could probably get at it, but it would be a whole lot of work digging. So maybe under or in a rock pile might be a good solution for you. And you can also bury a cache underneath a scrap metal pile. There are a lot of people that have scrap metal piles out on their property. I mean, I have one that just ends up being an accumulation of stuff. But you could all put a cache underneath something like that very easily, and then all you'd have to do is move the metal. Not the quietest option out there, but it could be done. Maybe a better option would be to hide it underneath a firewood pile. Sometimes people just take huge mounds of firewood and mound them up on their property. Wouldn't be very hard to hide a cache under there. The only problem is that you'd have to replenish the pile over your cache at the end of each firewood season. Now I guess I'd like to talk about multiple caching just a little bit. You could make multiple caches to keep some of your items safe. You could disassemble a gun and you could put like the receiver in one cache and maybe the barrel in another cache and the ammo and magazines in another cache and the buttstock in another one, and basically would help protect your firearm, where if someone dug up one piece of the gun, they wouldn't know where to look for the rest of it, so maybe they would just leave it behind. Or the only disadvantage is maybe they would take the piece with them and then you wouldn't have a working gun, but it would discourage most people from finding the rest of the gun, I think. Also, another way of doing this would be to store a gun in one cache and then the ammo in another, or maybe splitting up some of your survival items into two different caches and hiding them in two different places. That way, if one's discovered, you still have the other one in it as an option. I guess another thing is you should always have maybe more than one cache, because if it's not on your property, or if it's on your edge of your property and someone discovers it, then the day comes when you need it, it might be gone. I think it's the Army that has the saying, two is one and one is none, so just kind of keep that in mind when you're doing something like this. And you know, as I'm doing this podcast, I was just thinking of something of how you would dig the cache up, which you could use a sharpened stick, you know, take your knife, sharpen a stick, and dig it out that way. But that might be kind of tough, but what you could do is go to Walmart, and they always, in the spring, have gardening trowels that are like 99 cents or something, and they have the all composite ones. Maybe you want to take one of those and cache it somewhere nearby your cache. That way you could just dig that little shovel up, maybe bury it an inch under the ground, and then you can use it to dig the rest of your cache up if you don't have a shovel or something like that. Another thing to consider is how deep you bury your cache, because maybe you don't want to dig 3 feet down to find the top of your cache. But you got to remember that the easier it is to dig it up, the less secure it will be, because someone could go walking through the woods, and if you have a hole that's covered with a piece of metal and they step on it and it kind of just makes a weird sound, well, they might just dig it up just to see what's down there. But overall, I think caching is a good idea, and I'm not going to say whether I got one or not, but you never know. And really quick before I go, I'd just like to quickly mention geocaching, which is a form of caching that's become quite popular nowadays, where people put out caches, and other people take GPS units and they find them after they post the coordinates of roughly where they are. It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt, but you can do it year-round. And I did this somewhat before my daughter was born, and I thought it was a really fun activity, so maybe I'll do a episode on geocaching one day, or maybe it'll be a little part of a episode. But go out there and give it a try. I mean, it's a really fun hobby, and it gets you out in the woods. I just think it was really neat when I looked through the little notebook that was in the cache, and it was an old ammo can, and how many different people had visited that. Just make sure when you go to bring something with, and then take something out. But that's pretty much all the thoughts I have on caching right now. Maybe sometime I'll do a follow-up episode. And I'd also like to mention that I actually posted pictures of the shop radio I built from episode 26 up on my Facebook page. So go over there and check it out. And I think I'm going to end my show right here. So this is Jeff Radke signing off. And until next time, keep your stick on the ice.